Paul said that when he was with those mature Corinthian Christians, he did not speak to them the kind of wisdom that belongs to the world or to the rulers of this world who are in power today and gone tomorrow, but a wisdom that comes from God. This wisdom of God is, which is a mystery of God, a plan that was previously hidden, of which Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, was not understood by the rulers of this world. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That is why the scripture says, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But this plan of salvation that was previously hidden, God had revealed it to the mature Corinthian Christians by the Holy Spirit of God. For his Spirit searched out everything and showed them the deep things of God. Now, why the rulers of the world could not understand this mystery of God? Well, Paul gives a simple illustration. He said, no one can know a person's thoughts except his own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. The rulers of this world did not have the Spirit of God, and therefore they could not understand the deep things of God. However, he told the mature Corinthian Christians that they had received the Spirit of God so that they could understand the deep things of God that God had freely revealed or given to them. And when Paul shared with them these deep things of God, he did not use human wisdom to explain to them, but was led by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Human wisdom can never interpret spiritual truths. And Paul goes on to talk about three different kinds of individuals: the natural man, the spiritual Christian, and the carnal Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 to chapter 3, verse 4. There is a need to distinguish between them. Now first, the natural man, verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now who is a natural man? He is a man who has simply been born according to nature. Jesus said in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. He is a self-centered person. He may be outwardly a very good man, a very gracious man, a very courteous man, and a very kind man, as long as he can have his own way. He even loves to go to church. He loves the hymns, the choruses of the church. He likes to listen to the preacher if he happens to be eloquent and appearing. There was a man in the day of Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. He would love to listen to Spurgeon's preaching. One day, a friend met him and asked him, where have you been today? He said, I have been to hear the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon. You surprise me, said his friend. You do not believe a word he says? No, I don't. But he does, you know. and I get a certain amount of satisfaction in listening to a man preach as though he really believed what he was preaching. A natural man does not receive the things of God. He does not welcome the gospel truth. He is not receptive of them. He is not open to them. He does not accept them. Try to talk to him the wondrous of things of God, and he will look at you in amazement and will say, "I do not see the importance of these things. I don't think that I could bring myself to believe that such a thing is true. It's just too simple to believe." A natural man considers the things of God to be foolishness. No matter how you explain to him, the things of God do not make sense to him. The reason is that spiritual things must be understood spiritually. Meaning to say, a man can never understand and accept the things of God unless the Spirit of God reveals them to him. Therefore, he needs the illumination of God to know the truth. He cannot know the things of God. The word "know" here does not simply mean just to know about. The word suggests that the natural man is not able to grasp the significance or meaning of the things of the Spirit of God, regardless of his intellectual abilities or accomplishments. We read in chapter 1 of Corinthians 21, "The wisdom of the world knew not God." The things of God are spiritually evaluated, spiritually discerned, spiritually understood, but the natural man is spiritually dead. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, we are dead in sin and trespasses. That is why the things of God are foolishness to him. Man may study the Bible, but he can never understand it by his own wisdom, intellect, and reason. Martin Luther aptly said, "The Bible cannot be understood simply by study or talent. You must count only on the influence of the Holy Spirit." John Calvin wrote, "The testimony of the Spirit is superior to reason, for these words will not obtain full credit in the hearts of men until they are sealed by the inward testimony of the Spirit." He needs God's illumination of his word before he can truly know or right and rightly interpret the truth. Now, Lydia was a classic example. We read in Acts chapter 16, Paul landed in the city of Philippi, and on the Sabbath, he went to the riverside, and he met some ladies there, and began to share the word with them. And the Bible tells us that Lydia was a worshipper of God, but she was not born again until God opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Perhaps there are some here who have been coming to New Life, worshiping with the saints here for months or years. Perhaps your heart have not been opened yet to receive the gospel truth. So are you like this? How many times did you sit under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many times do you hear that Jesus died for your sins? And if you believe in him, you could become a child of God. Oh yes, you heard the preaching of the gospel, but somehow it did not make sense to you. You say in your heart, "It's too simple to believe." Why didn't the gospel of Jesus Christ make sense to you? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You have been blinded by Satan. What should you do? Well, you ought to pray to God to remove that veil from your eyes so that you will be able to see and understand the gospel of life. You need to humble yourselves and ask the Holy Spirit of God to enlighten you and reveal it to you, the truth of the gospel. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11? I thank God, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Again, Jesus said, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Well, friend, if the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and you desire to come to Jesus for salvation, then you must come to him as a wretched sinner, not as a worldly wise man, not as a scholar or a skillful debater, and confess your sins to him and put your faith in him to save you from eternal damnation. Will you respond to the call of the gospel, the call of God? Perhaps today is the day of salvation. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, you should not harden your heart. That's what the book of Hebrews says. You should come to him and receive the salvation that God has prepared for you. Now next, the spiritual Christian. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and yet he himself is judged of no man. Who is a spiritual Christian? First and foremost, he is a saved person. He has acknowledged himself to be a wretched sinner and has put his faith in the person of Jesus Christ to save him from sin, from misery, and eternal damnation. He is born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, again in John chapter 3, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He is a spiritual person. He stands before God as if he has not committed anything, any sin, because he is clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He has fellowship with God. He has access into the presence of God. He walked in the Spirit. He is led by the Spirit. He is controlled by the Spirit. He does not fulfill the desires of the flesh, but he produces the different aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He sings spiritual songs to the Lord. He is full of thanksgiving to God. He is submissive to God and to one another in the fear of the Lord. He understands the word of God. But he that is spiritual judges all things. In other words, the spiritual Christian judges the things of God. Now, the word judge simply means to discern or to examine. The word was used of a preliminary examination in preparation for a court trial. He is able to make judgment on spiritual matters because he has the Holy Spirit in him. The Spirit within him enlightens him about all the things of God which he needs to know. Peter said, The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the author of the Holy Scriptures. John said, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He is the believer's teacher. Therefore, the spiritual Christian does not need anyone to teach him what is true, for the Spirit teaches him everything he needs to know. And whatever he teaches is true. It is not a lie. According to 1 John chapter 2, 27, the believer has a built-in Bible teacher, the Holy Spirit of God. However, the latter part of verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2 says, no, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is true and is no lie, does not mean that human teachers are useless, but only that they are not indispensable. One Bible commentator aptly said, there are many human teachers to whom we shall be forever grateful, but we should not be slavishly dependent on any one of them. We thank God for Matthew Henry. We thank God for MacArthur. We thank God for Piper. We thank God for so many good Bible teachers that God has given us. But we must not be slavishly dependent on any one of them. The reason for not overly dependent on human teachers is that the Spirit teaches us about everything. And what He teaches is true, not false. Furthermore, human teachers default in interpretation on certain passages of the Bible. So, dearly beloved, if you have believed in Jesus for salvation, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. We read in John chapter 14, He indwells us forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And you are able to understand and discuss spiritual truths, because the Spirit within you gives you spiritual understanding. Therefore, there is no excuse for not reading the Bible. No excuse for saying, I don't understand the Word. You know something? God does not give us His Word or the Bible and make it so difficult for us to understand. The psalmist said, the entrance of thy word, the unfolding, the opening of thy word gave us light. It gave us understanding unto the simple. The Bible, yes, can be understood by every Christian who is diligent and obedient. You know, many years ago, I was ministering to an old couple, husband, 87 years old, wife, 86 years old, both of them speak the Cantonese, and they came to know the Lord. The husband was able to read, but not the wife. And so we provided the wife what we call cassette tapes with messages and Bible reading. And every day she listened to those messages, so much so that she memorized so many of them. And the husband, 87 years old, weak, and with only one eye, with his magnifying glass, he read through the Bible. It took him more than a year, but he read through the Bible. And he understood, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, what God was saying to him. And for us, we have two eyes, some of us four eyes. And yet we feel so lazy. In fact, not too long ago, a life fellow said to me that, you know, my wife doesn't read the Bible. He was so daring to tell me that. Of course, I prayed for him that the Lord have mercy upon his wife. God will not give us a Bible and make it so difficult for us to understand. You have the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God is your teacher. He will lead you and guide you into all the truth. All you need to do is to read it and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to open your spiritual eyes to behold wonderful things from His Word. And then he goes on to say, yet he himself is judge of no man. The spiritual Christian is not subject to spiritual judgment by the people of the world. Non-Christians are not capable of discerning and judging who and what Christians are. They may try to pass a judgment on them and accurately assess their faults, their shortcomings, and their living that is inconsistent with their belief, but they can never accurately assess their faith, which is based on the preaching of the cross, which is foolishness to the world or to them. The reason is that it is impossible for them who do not have the Spirit of God to understand faithful, committed Christians as it is for them to understand God Himself and His Word. There is no way for them to judge us. And then we move on to verse 16. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul asks, who has known the mind of Christ? Now the word know is the same word used in verse 14. The word is used in the sense of understood or comprehended. The spiritual Christian has the mind of Christ. He knows what God wants. He knows God's guidance and direction. He knows what is pleasing to the Lord and what is not. He knows the Lord's thinking because he has the Spirit of God residing in him and revealing to him what is in the heart of God found in the Holy Scriptures. Just like David, the Bible says, despite his weaknesses, he was a man after God's own heart. And we read a good commentary in Acts 13:22. The writer says that he would do the Lord's bidding because he knows he felt the heartbeat of God. He knows, David knew what God wants him to do, that he may instruct him. Non-Christians do not know what the Lord is thinking because he doesn't have the Spirit of God in him. So non-Christians do not know what the Lord is thinking and therefore can never receive instruction from God to do his bidding. But Christians do have the mind of Christ, and the Lord can teach him or teach them to do his bidding. Now the question is your heart in tune with God? We read in Romans, Paul exhorts us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. By the renewing of our mind, that we may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. how to renew our mind. While we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, we renew our mind by the Word of God. The Bible says the Word sanctifies us. The Word purifies us. The Word renews our mind. We read in Psalm 119, David asked the question, how shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to his word. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. And so if you want our mind to be renewed, we need to read the word of God faithfully and allow the word of God to sanctify us, to renew our mind. If your mind is not renewed, you will not be in tune with the mind of God. And that is why so many of us do not know what God wants us to do. And many times we do the wrong thing because we do not take time to seek the word of God and to allow the word of God to lead us and to guide us. We do not have the mind of Christ. So may I encourage you that as believers, seek the mind of Christ. Have his mind, and you will know what God wants you to do. Now finally, the carnal Christian, we read in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now Paul addresses his reader as brethren. The term would indicate that he believed them to be God's people, God's children. Despite their weaknesses, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul called them saints, holy ones. Though Paul was their spiritual father and had tried to feed them and help them to mature in the faith for 18 months at least, he could not speak to them as spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now the word carnal simply means worldly or fleshly. Carnality involves worldliness and a giving in to fleshly appetites or desires. Since Paul used this word to describe the spiritual condition of the Corinthian Christians, his description of them as carnal obviously means that we cannot deny that there are times Christians act in selfish and worldly ways. Instead of pursuing godly living, Christians at times slide back into old habits. That is why we read Paul's exhortation to the Colossians or the Ephesians, put off the old man, put on the new man. Is there such a thing as a carnal Christian? Can a truly born-again Christian be carnal? Who is a carnal Christian? Well, he is a Christian who is engaged in sinful behaviors. He lives under the control of the flesh. He lives for the things of the flesh. He is worldly. He has little interest in the things of God. He is like a baby who is immature in his faith. He is a spiritual infant. He is stunted in his spiritual growth because of his worldly lifestyle. He does not view the world from the spiritual point of view. He looks at things from his own perspective, not from God's perspective. That is why they interpret events, happenings, or life experiences according to their own intellect, wisdom, and reason. And Paul goes on to say, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, until now, up to this point, ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. The carnal Christian is not able to receive and appreciate the profound truths of God. As a result, Paul found it necessary to feed them with milk, that is the basic things of God, rather than with solid food, that is the deep things of God. Just now we read in your responsive reading, Hebrews chapter 5. And then you read on in chapter 6. What are some of these basic things of God? You read in chapter 6, 1 and 2. The writer talks about the resurrection, repentance, baptism. These are the basic truth of God. And in chapter 6, verse 1, the writer says, let us move on from these elementary things. Let us move on for deeper things. And yet these elementary things like baptism, resurrection, repentance are deep truth to many of us. But to the writer of the Hebrews, they are basic things that Christians should know. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now the latter part of the verse indicates that things have not changed. There was no real change in them. Up to now, they were still unable to receive solid spiritual food in spite of the fact that they have known the Lord long enough. And even now, they were still not yet ready. The reason why they were still living on milk and not on solid food has to do with their worldly lifestyles. This worldly lifestyle had petrified them spiritually, so much so that the things of God no longer had any impact on them. They had become insensitive to the things of God. That is why you read in Hebrews 5, verse 11. The writer said, I have many things to tell you, but you are dull of hearing. The word dull there means insensitive to spiritual things. Well, dearly beloved, are you like this? Having been a Christian for many years, you are still not ready to receive solid spiritual food? Hebrews tells us milk is for beginners, inexperienced in the way of God. Solid food is for the mature who have some practice in telling right from wrong. Brethren, if you are still in this state, it is sad. Indeed sad. The reason is that you have been a Christian for so long now that ye ought to be teaching other younger Christians the basics of Christianity. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Isn't it sad? Grandparents, you are supposed to teach your grandchildren the word of God. You're supposed to share the gospel with them and lead them to Christ. Or parents, you're supposed to help your teenage child or children to grow in the most holy faith. And yet, for some of us, we need our teenager children to teach us again the basic things of God. Isn't it sad? Spiritual development is progressive. Are you progressing in your faith this year than you were last year? Spiritual progression has no limit. Even you have known the Lord for the last 50 years, there is no such thing as taking a spiritual break. You must not stop growing spiritually. You must continue to discipline yourself for the purpose of godly living till you see the Lord face to face. And then Paul moved on to say, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? While the carnal Christian is betrayed by envy, strife, and divisions, carnality was still evident in the Corinthian church. The people were jealous of one another and quarreled with each other, and it resulted in the splitting of the church. Paul said, are you not thinking, behaving, and living any differently than non-Christians? Are you not living like the people of the world? In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul was afraid that the next time he visited them, there might be quarreling, jealousy, hot tempers, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly conduct. And he might have to weep over many who sinned in the past and had not repented of their acts of perversions, sexual sins, and promiscuity in which they had been involved. So he exhorted them to examine themselves and see whether they are still in the Christian faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Dearly beloved in Christ, you and I must do likewise. We must not take our spiritual walk with the Lord for granted. We may have been a Christian for a long time, but that does not mean that our spiritual health is sound and healthy. John reminds us, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. And Jesus said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. A truly born-again Christian is not a servant of sin. He does not practice sins habitually and continually. Yes, he may struggle. He may struggle hard against sin. And sometimes he yields to them because of the weakness of the flesh. But that does not mean that he is living a life of sin. Now, if anyone professes to be Christian and continues to practice sin habitually, there is a possibility that this person is never been born again. Paul warns us that if you continue to manifest the works of the flesh, we read in Galatians chapter 5, such as sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, war parties, and other sins like this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus says to such people, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we need to examine ourselves. If you profess to be a Christian and continue to live a life of sins, there's a possibility that you have never been born again. For For while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? The cause of quarrel among the Corinthian Christians was over which preacher was the greatest, Paul or Apollos. One says, I am a follower of Paul. He does not mean his words in his preaching. I like him. He is my hero. Another says, I follow Apollos. He is more eloquent than Paul. It's true, you read in the scriptures, he's more eloquent than Paul. He is my hero. But Paul chided them. Aren't you acting just like people of the world? Aren't you living any differently than non-Christians? Such behavior, conduct was an evidence of carnality in the Corinthian church than of spirituality. Well, brethren, can you think of anything that causes divisions in the church? There are countless causes to church divisions. Hero worship is one of them. So-and-so is my hero because he inspires me to be somebody. He speaks well and conducts himself confidently. So-and-so is my favorite elder or deacon or pastor. I like him better than the other. Can you imagine the damage this person has done to the church? He has just split the church into two groups. What did Paul say to the Corinth, to the church in Corinth? Paul was not greater than Apollos, and neither was Apollos greater than Paul. Both of them were only God's servants through whom the Corinthians believed the gospel. Paul planted the seeds of the gospel in their hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. They were both co-laborers of God. Therefore, it is wrong to worship, to hero worship God's servants. Well, we have considered three kinds of individuals. Which kind are you? Are you a natural man? You need to be saved. You don't have to continue to be a natural man. You can become a child of God if only you believe in the Lord Jesus to save you from sin, misery, and eternal damnation. Are you a spiritual man? There is always room for further spiritual development. Make every effort to live the Christian life. Are you a carnal Christian? You need to set your house in order. You need to order your spiritual life and live for God. You don't have to continue to be a carnal Christian. King David has one desire that all of us should follow after. We read that in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing he so desired in his heart, that is to be in the house of the Lord. Jesus said to Martha, but one thing is needful, and Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Paul, a spiritual giant, said that he had not reached spiritual perfection yet. He will continue to pursue it vigorously. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord, what is that one thing in your heart? May God help us to press on the outward way in order to gain new spirituality. May the Lord speak to our hearts, and may we willing be changed by the power of His word. Let us pray.